Scott McKay is away this week. Instead, we're joined by Tim White, investigative reporter from WPRI-TV. Thanks for joining us, Tim.
Thank you, Ian.
Secretary of State Nelly Gorbea, I'd like to start with a question that relates to Matt Brown and a couple of caveats. You have said that you're staying neutral in the Democratic gubernatorial primary between Matt Brown and Gina Raimondo. Also, you worked for Matt Brown when he was Secretary of State. Back in 2002, when Matt Brown was Secretary of State, he told me that he wanted to try and tackle the problem of how the General Assembly passes so many bills in the final week of the session. It seems like nothing has changed with that. Is there a role for the Secretary of State to play in addressing that issue?
You know, well, first of all, let me correct your statement a little bit. I'm staying neutral from all primaries because I am the chief state election official. It just seems like the right thing to do. So it's not just the gubernatorial race. With regards to the Secretary of State's role, the timing of the legislation is really under the General Assembly's control. What I can do in my office is to try to provide as much information to citizens around, you know, what's happening and when. Certainly, I do think that there has been some changes in how things happen. I mean, if you look going all the way back to when Secretary Langevin, when he was Secretary, now Congressman Langevin, he did all those access reports that I think did actually improve the accessibility of information about what's happening in the session. So I think there's a role to play with regards to information. But the calendar itself is really under the purview of the Speaker and the General Assembly leadership.
But there are still things like the way that the rules are suspended, meaning that bills can fly through the committee process and straight to the floor. And most people would say there's some room for improvement there.
No, I would totally agree. And we do actually in the access report that we've actually upgraded and provide a lot more information to. We actually note the suspension of the rules as one of those issues.
You said to Ian that you're going to not endorse anyone in the primary races. So does that mean you will be endorsing for the general election?
I haven't gone as far as the general election, but right now with my role, I learned my lesson back in the Hillary and Bernie Sanders primary, and that it really undermined people's sort of thinking about, you know, what was going to happen in the primary. So it's better for me.
Critics are going to think that you're just doing that because you are tight with Matt Brown. You worked for him. You're friendly with him, and you don't want to weigh in because of that race.
Well, critics can think all sorts of things, but no, it really is about looking beyond just one race. There's a number of contested races. I do actually have a lot of different friends at this point that are running. And I think it is healthier for democracy to let, you know, the voters decide on their own.
Why has voting become such a divisive issue in the United States?
Voting really is about holding government accountable, and it's about choices and directions. And so it's absolutely critical. It's part of the reason I love my job as Secretary of State, because it gives me the opportunity to give people the tools to get involved and engaged in voting. In fact, I do want to make a plug, though, for the vote.ri.gov website, the voter information website, which has a wealth of information for anybody wanting to be an engaged voter.
People who are critical of the voting process point to how there has been publicity about how Rodin's voter rolls have been filled with outdated information at times. So does that give some credence to the view of critics that things need to be tightened up quite a bit?
Every year that I've been in office, we've done something to improve the accuracy of the voter rolls. And I have done this in a very systematic way, whether it be joining this nonprofit of states where we exchange voting lists and very secure IBM-developed software program, or it be automated voter registration, which just got started a few weeks ago and is helping us keep our voter lists accurate. Because when you go to the DMV now, we have automated the process of upgrading the addresses in their system with our system.
Madam Secretary, some bills focused on women issues stalled out this legislative session. I'm thinking of the Me Too bill, for lack of a better description, and the bill to get ahead of keeping abortion legal if the Supreme Court were to overturn Roe versus Wade. The Women's Project points a finger at House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello for them, those bills stalling out. Do you?
I think that there was a general reluctance by not just the speaker, but a number of people to handle these issues. I hope that that will change. As a woman who believes that women should have a choice in their reproductive health, and that issues of harassment and diversity are ones that we need to tackle in the more modern workplace. I hope that these issues will eventually come into a vote and we'll be able to have discussions.
You had worked with Matt Brown when he was Secretary of State and he won election in 2002. Did you hear any stories or allegations of harassment at the State House around that time period?
No, never.
You won election in 2014. That is a blink of the eye, but here we are, 2018, and another blink of the eye, it's going to be 2022. Is there any chance that you will run for governor then?
I am completely 150% focused on my race for Secretary of State.
Can you tell us that you haven't given any thought to the idea of running for governor one day?
When you're an elected mom with a husband and a job that's very compelling and a campaign to run, there's a lot of other things to think about rather than what might happen in past 2020.
For the record, Ian, I didn't hear a no in there. Madam Secretary, you were the first statewide elected Hispanic in New England, in all of mm-hmm. New England. Down in New York City, another Latina shocked incumbent Democratic Congressman Joe Crowley. We saw that down there. And I'm just wondering if you're seeing a rising tide and the Hispanic population running for elected office. And do you have President Trump to thank for that?
Actually, so my fellow Puerto Rican, actually, in New York, I was very excited to see her race. Rhode Island is a precursor to this wave because we've been ahead of the game. We have already 20 Hispanics elected to a variety of offices throughout the state, representing six different countries of origin. So I don't think it's necessarily just the recent president. We in Rhode Island have been seeing activism and engagement by the Latino community here in Rhode Island, and a community that really welcomes and accepts these candidates, which I think speaks volumes of the fact that we've been ahead of the curve.
Does that upset by that Latina in New York who is a Democratic Socialist suggest to you that progressives will make gains in Rhode Island elections this year?
I think that what happens in New York doesn't necessarily transfer to Rhode Island, but I do see a lot of activism on all sides of the political spectrum. So this is, I fully expect this to be a spirited campaign season and very engaging for you on the media side as well.
Indeed. At Channel 12, we broke a story about Alan Fung not paying for his campaign headquarters in 2016. He was renting from the Carpionato Group and paid very little in 14 as well. Common Cause Rhode Island filed a complaint with the Board of Elections in the wake of that story. You're a good government person. What's your thought on what's swirling around Alan Fung right now?
I think it's a challenge, and he needs to answer those questions. I have been troubled by seeing the reports in the media as well, but he will have to respond to that.
You had a proposal to introduce the use of early voting in Rhode Island. Why did that not move ahead at the legislature this year?
Yeah, as soon as you find out, let me know. Yes, it did not pass, and I was disappointed. Change is difficult. On the other hand, we've done a lot of other successful legislation that I think has greatly improved the administration of elections in our state. I'm going to be back at it again. And I have to remind everybody that in Rhode Island, there actually are three different ways to vote. You can vote by mail. You can vote by emergency mail ballot, which is a form of voting early, and you can vote on election day. And for more information, go to vote.ri.gov.
All right, there you have it. We're out of time, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us from WPRI-TV, Tim White.
Thanks, Ian.
And Rhode Island Secretary of State, Nelly Gorbea.
Thank you.